This is WHCC in Holland. It's time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our guest this morning on Talk of the Town is Sherry Cadeau, and she is manager of the bus company. Good morning, Sherry.
Hey, good morning, Duke. Actually, marketing and customer service.
Marketing and customer service, okay.
Yes.
But people know you and associate you with the company.
That could be, because I'm out there talking about
transit
a lot of
times. You're out there talking about
it,
right. All right. Well, we've made some improvements, right?
We have.
A lot of improvements.
Yes, indeed. We opened our new operations facility on Greenway Drive in Holland Township. And we had an open house and a ribbon cutting, and that went very well. It was very well attended.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved from our old 24th Street location, the building that was owned by the City of Holland, and we moved into Greenway. Very smooth transition, and now we're all settled in, and things are going very smoothly.
Good, good. How do you hope to serve better this way than the old way?
Well, we're growing as a transit system. And as we grow, we have more buses, obviously, that need to be housed, preferably indoors, because we want to protect our investment. Each bus costs anywhere from $250,000 to $500,000 for some expensive buses. So you want to keep them indoors, out of the elements, and this is a great way to be able to get all the buses inside. When we were at 24th Street, we were just busting at the seams.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the buses had to be parked outside, which is not great operationally because you have to scrape the ice and the snow and clear them
right,
off.
Right.
And this way they're all protected indoors. At the Greenway facility, we can house all 28 buses inside. So there we go. Adjusting my mic. Thanks,
yes.
Duke. So we've got them all inside now. They're all tucked in. And we also have an outside depot where it's an overhang, really. And at least they're covered there. So if
mm-hmm.
as we grow as a fleet, we'll have additional room to be able to store our buses. But staff, too. Staff is so crowded in the old facility. And now they actually have adequate facilities to be able to.
They got a chair to sit on.
They have a chair to sit on. They're not all squished into a cube. So it's all good.
Now, this obviously has a little effect on the morale of the staff as well.
Absolutely, and that's really, that's an intangible benefit. You can't manufacture that. The staff morale is very high because they have a beautiful new functional facility. They have the right tools to do the job, and that often translates into better service for our customers.
Right. How often do you go over the routes and reassess where they run and how they best serve?
Well, we have a transit planner on staff full-time, and his only job is to look at the routes and to look at the bus stops and to figure out how we can operate more efficiently, but also how we can serve the community better in certain areas of the community better.
I've got a call here. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Take the Max Challenge, and that's the next time you see a Max bus, if you can see through the tinted windows, see how many people are on it. And it's not, I think in most cases, I don't see many people on it. And I question the whole system that maybe they should go to maybe a scatter system in which people call up and ask for individual rides. And it might be a lot cheaper than this system that, at least as far as I'm concerned, isn't being used.
Okay, what's your response to that, Sherry?
Okay, yep, that is that's a common question, is about what we call the empty bus syndrome. And it's interesting because the caller suggested that if we do the dial-a-ride or the demand-response type service, he'd like us to see to go to that. The problem with that is most of those fairly empty buses he sees are not fixed-route buses, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Only 8 of our buses are actually used for the fixed routes. The balance of the 28 vehicles in our fleet are being used for demand response. And just the nature of demand response is it's curb-to-curb service or origin-to-destination. And what that means is that you might only have 1 or 2 riders because it's a premium service. It's more like you get a ride and you need to go to your destination.
Right.
On the fixed route, we can have 24, 28 people, sometimes standing room only, One thing I would throw out there is that you've got to understand 70%, actually closer to 76% of our total ridership numbers of 470,000 rides a year are on the fixed route.
Yeah.
And the balance is on-demand response. So the one in two people you see on the buses, more than likely that's demand response bus, where they might have some sort of disability that they're not able to use the fixed route system, or they're not within a half a mile of a bus stop, and so they get to use the demand response.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I always recall many years ago when I was in Rockford, Illinois, I used to go to school downtown, and I had to take a bus. And usually when the bus drove up to the stop where I came, where I took the bus, there were hardly any people on the bus. But then the whole bunch of us students got on the bus, and the bus was full. So that's what happens. That's what happens, I imagine, in your bus system as well.
That's a really good point, too, because that as the buses pull out from the depot and they begin their route, they might be full from people who were at the transfer center and boarded.
Right.
Some people will get off along the way. Other people will get on. Usually, towards the end of the route, the bus is pretty full when it gets back to the transfer center because people need to make a transfer to get onto another route. So there's sort of an ebb and a flow to how many people you're going to see on a bus at any given time. But that's the usual trend.
Right. Now, generally, it's the people who get on the bus, not necessarily on a regular basis, that use the bus. And some people use it on a regular basis to get to work or get to some other place.
Right.
Where they travel to regularly.
Right. Here in Holland, what's interesting is that when we did our community survey, I think about 3 years ago, we interviewed residents from not only our service area, but just surrounding service area. And what the results found was that 6% of this population in the Holland-Zeeland market use the transit system. What's unusual about that is comparing us to other communities of our size and transit systems of our size, typically it's about 3%.
Mm-hmm.
So our residents are using their transit system a lot more than other comparable communities. And what we're finding is that about 70% of people use MAX on a fairly regular basis. So that's daily or weekly. And then we have some people use it occasionally. Their car breaks down, or they're without a car for a day, or they just need to get somewhere. And so they'll use the system to help supplement their transportation.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a moment out for a word. And if you have a question you'd like to ask of our guest, feel free to call 395-1450. Sherry Cadeau, she's with the bus system, and if you have a question, at
280-373. We'll be drawing the winners every Friday on WHTC in the morning. Hope College Family Fun Fridays from Realtor Larry Kleinhexel and 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.
And we're here with Sherry Cadeau this morning, and she is talking about the local bus system. 395-1450 is our number. If you have questions about it, feel free to call us. And how often do you go over these routes? Do you review them from time to time redoing them?
We do.
Let's take this call, Sherry.
Sure.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yeah, I ride the MAX, and I just want to tell you that I really appreciate it, having, you know, a bus, not having to call someone to get a ride. I really appreciate it.
That's great. That's great.
That's really good to hear.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
I'm sure that most people feel that way.
They do. A lot of folks who take the MAX say that they appreciate the service that they get from the drivers. I got to tell you this because it's such a great story. We had some visitors in from Jackson. And I get the complaints, the written complaints that come in. I manage and handle those. But we also get compliments on a form
mm-hmm.
that they can fill out. And this family was coming in from Jackson, and they were using our transit system for the first time. And the very first word on her compliment form was, wow. In Jackson, our buses are dirty, and the drivers are surly. And here, everybody was so nice and helpful. It was such a great experience. And that's exactly what we want to try to deliver every day.
Yeah.
It's a good experience.
Well, I see the buses going around with bicycles on the front and that sort of thing. That's a convenience that's offered to the riders.
It is.
And does it cost you extra to take the bike?
No, it's absolutely free. And if you're not sure how to mount your bike on that rack, just ask the driver and they can show you how. It's absolutely free. It's a great. A lot of people do bike and ride because you can cover a lot more ground when you got a bike as well as walking.
Sure.
We encourage people to do that.
Okay, now about the routes.
Okay, let's get back to the routes. We do have a full-time transit planner, and his job is to look at the routes and how can we economize, how can we run more efficiently within the allotted time that we have. It's kind of like putting together a puzzle because you have to make sure that all of the 8 routes get back to the transfer center at the same time to be able to pull out at the top of the hour.
Oh, yes.
So you can't have one that's running 58 minutes consistently and one that's running short. So if we find out they have extra time, we try to add in sections of the route where maybe we can service a neighborhood that and get closer to destinations for people.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're running too hot, you know, if we're getting in too close to the top of the hour and there might be a delay because of a train or something, we might look at how can we cut off some sections of that route that aren't really used to make sure that it gets back on time. So he's got a tough job, but he does a really, really good job at monitoring that. And, of course, the construction and the temporary stops and the road closures, that's always a challenge in the summer months. So.
Yeah. Now, the driver's pretty regular. Are they stay on and work for...
They do. We have a lot of long-term bus operators who have been with us for 10 years or more that I can remember since I've been here. And we have a lot of part-timers as well. Some retirees want a part-time job, and they like to drive, and they have a safe record, and we think they'd be good interacting with the passengers. And so we bring them on as part-time drivers, and that really helps out.
Because
we have probably close to 60 bus operators right now.
Really?
Yes.
It's a goodly number.
It is.
Yeah.
Gives us some good flexibility for scheduling, too.
And now that we have this new building, where can we go from here?
Well, the next step would really be to improve service. It's a chicken-egg thing, you know. A lot of people say, gee, I can't use the service as much as I'd like to because it's not convenient for me. The buses don't come around often enough. It's hourly service, and I got meetings to go to, and it's just, you know, the travel time is just too much for my schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to do that, really, we need to get more passengers and we need to get more funding. When I talk about funding, it's not capital funding, bricks and mortar, which built our building. And that's really a misnomer. A lot of people say, gee, why didn't you take this $4.7 million that went into the new facility and put it into service? Well, there's a couple problems with that. The first thing is it's capital funding from the federal government, from the state government, and it can only be used for building construction projects. The second problem with that is that, okay, if we did dump that money into, even if we could, into operations and offer better service, you know, what would happen when that money's gone? In other words, if we offer a service and improve it, we have to be able to sustain it. And if we can't sustain it with additional funding in the future, we want to be reliable. We can't start a route and everybody says, boy, this is great service, and then, well, money's gone, so... we're going to cut that route and cut back again. You can't do that. You got to be reliable. So we're in it for the long haul, and you know, we hope to grow, and we hope to be able to offer service improvements. The last one we did was the Twilight Route, and that was introduced a year ago last October, and we provided 5,600 new rides in the evening from 7 to 10 o'clock at night. A lot of people, they could take the bus to their location during the day, but then they didn't have a way to get home. So this is just another option. And we realize it doesn't hit all parts of town, but we cover 13.9 miles in a 50-minute period. So we're covering a lot of ground as much as we can in the evening to provide rides for people.
And, of course, I know that you do an assessment sort of on where the people are coming from and where the people are getting on the bus.
Yes, we do. We monitor that. And, in fact, the stops where we see a lot of people boarding and a lot of destinations, we're trying to add bus shelters as an amenity. That's really important whenever you have a transit system to offer some conveniences for your customers so that it's more comfortable, because we don't want them standing out in the elements.
Right.
We can't do it for every stop, but we try to get the busiest ones.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Good morning. I'm wondering if there's any service out to Park Township. and if Park Township subsidizes the service. And if there isn't, then why not? And why aren't routes on main trunk lines, like Ottawa Beach Road certainly would be one, especially during the summer?
Okay, I'll let her respond. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I am so glad you asked that question, because there's a lot of misinformation out there. For as long as MAX has been around, 13 years really since 2000 when we did the fixed routes, many residents still don't understand what our service area is. We get a lot of requests from residents in Park Township and Laketon Township, other jurisdictions, West Olive, and they want service. And they come to MAX and they say, how come you don't come to my area?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me just set the record straight. Park Township does not participate in MAX, okay? They don't fund it and they don't belong to the authority board. They have been invited. We have invited area jurisdictions to look at joining the authority, paying the set millage to help pay for the service, and allowing us to provide service to the residents. If you as a resident do not have bus service and you want to see MAX come to your neighborhood, what you need to do is to go to your elected officials. Go to your township supervisors and the board. Start a petition with your neighbors and say we want service in this area and present it publicly to them at a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
That is really, they're the decision makers, and they have to decide as a government if they want to come to us and join the authority. So please do contact your local elected officials and tell them you want bus service. And then what happens is they come to MAX, and we'll look at some options. Maybe only get demand response service, or maybe we extend a loop to service West Ottawa High School, or be able to go to the park, Holland State Park. So contact your local officials, and we'll be happy to work with them if they decide they want service.
Okay. You have attempted routes to Ottawa Beach or to the state park.
We did.
At one time.
We did. And the only way that we were able to do that is that we operated outside the service area, because that was funded with marketing dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And it was with a vehicle that was purchased with local funding. Federal government, they're very particular about the way their funds are spent. And we can't operate a charter service outside our area. So we used a bus that was funded with local money, and we were able to run it to the beach. We did that 3 years in a row, and we experimented with different days and times and fares. And the last year it was actually free, and we only had 400 rides the entire summer. And that wasn't enough to justify it.
Not so to justify it, no.
Not going to the beach anymore.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yes, I know you have changed your routes, and you've put up the sheltered bus stops, but when you change them again, I wish you'd go back and pull up the cement. You know, you remove the shelter, but you leave the cement pad. I know on 16th Street, you know, every time I stop there, I see those two cement pads where it used to be grass, and it'd be nice if you could take that out and put the grass back. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, good comment. I'm not quite sure what our plans are for that. I would have to look into that and talk to our transit planner and find out what we do in the event that we move a shelter.
Yeah.
It may be they leave it there because they are planning in the future to be able to add another shelter. I know we've moved a few shelters around, and like I said, the plans may be to put a shelter there again, so they don't want to re-pour the cement pad, but I will look into that.
Okay, very
good. I don't
know
the answer.
And let's take time out for a look at the weather here. The hometown forecast brought to you by the Wooden Shoe Restaurant. Are you the next Southern Slam Omelet? Let's say it right. Southern Slam Omelet Challenger. Be a challenger at the Wooden Shoe Restaurant. And the forecast for today: showers to taper off, steady to slowly falling temperatures, and tonight it'll be partly cloudy with a low of 39. Showers possible in the afternoon tomorrow with a high of 48, and right now we're looking at 50 degrees in the Tulip City. And we're talking to Sherry Cadell here, and she's with the bus company, and she'll answer questions if you have any. 395-1450 is the number to call for you. All right. Yes, you might even be putting a route back in some place where it was before.
That could be. We try not to change the routes too often because it gets really confusing
for
passengers. And sometimes,
and probably for bus drivers, too.
Yes, and we have to get everybody back up to speed again. So we try not to do drastic changes. We try to do subtle enhancements. I would offer to folks that if you ride the bus and if you want to know what the very latest routes are, visit our website. We have any route announcements that are on there, temporary closures or temporary bus stops. Of course, tulip time is a huge, the roads are kind of a mess, and we got to relook at some routes and do some things different. So if you're not sure about the bus stop and the location and the times, look on our website. Or we also have a text messaging alert system. And if there's ever a closure or last-minute change, you can get a text right on your cell phone.
Okay. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Good morning. Can you tell me if the bus system is profitable, that it makes money at the end of the year? And I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you.
Sure. No, we're not profitable. We are considered a service to the community, and if anything, we're not compensated for what the cost of the rides are.
Mm-hmm.
So no, we do not turn a profit. We do have a balanced budget, which means when we get our state funding and we get our federal funding and we get our local money from the tax millage, what happens is we balance our budget. So we have our expenses and we have our revenues, and they all have to balance out at the end of the year. Now, we just closed out a fiscal year for last year on September 30th. Our new fiscal year began October 1st, and we do balance that out. So we try to, we're good, strong, West Michigan Dutchmen, and we like to make sure that our money goes. We're good stewards, and I would invite anybody, if you want to look at our finances, they're all available on our website. What you want to do is click on About Us, and that will take you to the Max Transit Authority Board, and all of our financials are right there, so you can pour through those, and that's some good reading at night if you want to look at those.
Yes. All right. What's the fare now?
The fare is still, believe it or not, $1 one way for a regular adult,
mm-hmm.
and it's half price for kids.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Very good deal.
Yeah, so if you're going someplace, take the bus.
If you can. If it works into your schedule, and I realize it's not always practical, but if you can do it, and I ask people, maybe even on the weekend when you have a little bit of extra time, take the kids, explore the bus, and go somewhere.
Yeah.
It's a good journey. The other thing is, you hear about these age-in-place communities, retirement communities.
Yes.
This new one that they're looking at for the Holland Country Golf Course. That's not even on the transit lines, and which baffles me, because really, if we ever have a retirement community going in, look at your transportation options. What are you going to do when it comes when you can't drive and you're stuck somewhere in a retirement community? Let us know, because we can always alter our routes to make sure that we service that new location for seniors and pre-retirees.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's difficult to always plan a trip, but I guess that's why it's a good idea to maybe on the weekend see what the routes are a little bit about and take some of them.
Yeah, take a joyride. Take a South Shore Drive, which is real pretty in the autumn. Or maybe during tulip time, hop on and ride around the city. Just get used to it. There may be some time when you want to use it or you need to use it. Or, like I said, as you get older, and if there ever comes a day where you're not able to drive for whatever reason, you're not so intimidated by it. You're at least familiar with it.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great idea, and I think that if you ride the bus a few times, you'll see the service that it provides. And so many people can't ride in a car, or for some physical reason, or maybe they can't drive a car, or maybe they have a legal problem with driving a car. Take the bus. That would be a good way to, around that. And I think that bus probably will serve most places that people want to get to, but it's getting to work, for instance, that's important for mm-hmm. people particularly.
Right, and we do have a lot of passengers. I want to say 40% either take the bus to work or they take it to school. Mm-hmm. What's funny is that we have about 150 school-age children who take the fixed routes every day to school. Might be a school of choice or a charter school or Black River. And these kids know the system. They know it really well. They know how to get to school, and then they go to the Boys and Girls Club afterwards, and then they hop back on the bus, and they get home, and they're good little transit users.
Do you have any system of where people can buy X number of rides for a price?
Yes, we do. We offer a punch pass. It is for $20, and it gives you $22 worth of rides.
Okay.
So we're giving you a $2 bonus if you buy the pass. What's cool about that is you don't have to have the exact dollar bill when you board. You just
That's
get
right.
your pass, and you're good to go.
Punch the pass.
Punch the pass.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Good morning. Speaking of the cost to ride, what I appreciate is that senior citizens ride free.
Yeah.
And that wasn't mentioned, so I thought I'd call.
Good idea. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Senior services ride,
seniors
ride free
on the fixed routes every day, and they also get a discount on the Reserve-A-Max.
Oh, really?
That's $2 one way if you reserve a ride.
Mm-hmm.
So it's $4 for a round trip on the reserved ride, and it's totally free. Our board several years ago made that decision to offer free rides, and they did that knowing we would forgo some revenue. And we've faced some criticism for that as well. Why don't you have more riders pay for the service? Because they believed it was really important to keep citizens engaged and active in the community, and they would have the freedom and the mobility to move about. Some of them are on limited incomes, and we wanted to encourage them to continue to get out and be independent. So,
well, I think it's great, and I don't write it, but I still think it's nice to have it there in case I need it.
Well, Duke, we got to get you on board one of these
You
days.
Will have to.
Take you right through town.
I've ridden through town a couple of times, but not on a bus.
Yeah, well, it's a different experience, but I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah. Sherry, looks like we're about out of time today, and I want to thank you very much for being our guest here on our
Thanks
Talk
so
of the
much,
Town
Duke.
Program.
Really appreciate it.
And maybe we'll have you back sometime.
Would love it. Thank you.
Meanwhile, stay tuned for all the news and weather coming your way. And save the fuss, take a bus.